Well, good morning. Welcome to worship. It is a little bit of a gray day out there, but not so in here, right? We are, as always, glad to be together as we come to worship our Lord. These words from Isaiah chapter 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. Anybody feel exhausted this morning? But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Would you pray with me? O everlasting God, we, your weary people, are here once again, trusting that you, O God, do not grow weary. Trusting that you are just as good today as you were yesterday and a million years before that. Trusting that you are strong and that you are able to hold us, your children, in your arms. And not only able, you are willing, O God, to love us, comfort us, care for us, put your courage within us, and renew our strength. And so as we gather in this place this morning, Lord, would you do that? Would you grow every heart in your love? And would your own heart be so satisfied? Would you take pleasure in your children, turning from everything else that we could be doing today, to be in this place to lift up your name? For you, O God, are worthy of all we have to give. You're worthy of the songs that we sing. You're worthy of our attention to your word. Most of all, you're worthy of the very lives that we live. They are gifts from you. And so we give it back to you this morning in this time of worship. Be honored, O God, and encourage our hearts at the same time. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I just want to read a few verses from these pages. Starting in verse 15. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father God, now as we turn to your word, we do so because our hearts need to hear from you, our creator, our sustainer, the lover of our souls. Our good, good Father. We need your wisdom, O God, for the living of these days. We need your hope. We need your grace. We need your love. And we trust that we find it as you reveal yourself to us through these holy words. With the same spirit that inspired Paul to write this letter, be the same spirit that empowers our hearing this morning. You are alive and you are among us, O God. And so would you move freely in this place, in every heart, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, and so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. On October 15th, 2017, two words changed our world. In response to the years of sexual abuse that Harvey Weinstein had gotten away with in Hollywood, actress Alyssa Milano posted on Twitter that morning, "If all the women who have been sexually harassed or assaulted wrote Me Too as a status, we might give people a sense of the magnitude of the problem." Over the next few days, a number of posts began to come up from celebrities like Gwyneth Paltrow and Ashley Judd, Jennifer Lawrence and Uma Thurman, among many, many others. Just like that, a movement was born from two words, Me Too. Harvey Weinstein is currently serving a 23-year prison sentence. But more than that, thousands of victims of abuse who had been silent for years all over the world began coming forward saying, "Me too. I've suffered too. I want justice too. I've overcome this terrible thing too. Me too." Two simple words that brought with them this movement toward justice and healing and truth-telling and wrongs being made right. Even beyond the realms of abuse, I still believe that these two words, Me Too, hold within them so much power to bring healing and grace in all of our relationships today. Me Too. And it's because these two words, rather than emphasize what separates us from each other, they recognize those things that bring us together, our common humanity, our common stories. Me too. These days, I believe, we need to hear from each other, perhaps more than ever before. A lot of people saying out loud, "Me too. Me too. Me too." Those words hold within them the power to overcome our deepest shame. Have you ever noticed how much the enemy loves this thing called shame? Have you ever noticed how much he uses shame to isolate us, to convince us that we are truly unworthy of any kind of grace? But what shame does is it sneaks in and it takes whatever you did and it tells you over and over again in your mind and in your heart what an absolute disappointment you are. Shame tells you that you are too messed up to ever be okay. Shame tells you that you've gone and done something that if anyone else knew about it, they'd all turn on you. They'd reject you. They wouldn't believe that you could do such a thing. Shame tells you that no one could really love you if they really knew that side of you. That's the voice of shame. And what it does is it keeps us at a distance from God because we are just totally convinced that He is far too disappointed in us to want anything of life to do with us. And shame keeps us at arm's length from one another. Because I'm convinced that if you really know me, you'll reject me. So I'll only let you know this much of me, because that's safe. Shame is the enemy's favorite way to keep us, God's people, broken and alone. What do you know about the Apostle Paul? Anything we know about him? We know he had that personal encounter with Jesus. Remember that? On the road to Damascus. We know that in that moment, he heard the voice of God himself. Ever wanted to hear the voice of God yourself? He got to hear it, and he was blinded, and he was made to see by the power of God. We know about the Apostle Paul that he shared the gospel with entire people groups who had never heard of it before. We know that he was the first one to preach the good news of Jesus to anyone in the entire continent of Europe. And we know that he planted most of those very first churches in Asia. We know of the Apostle Paul that he wrote the majority of the New Testament after the Gospels. We know that this is a man who was moved by the power of God. This was a man who wrote in the wisdom of God. This is a man who was used for the glory of God. He was perhaps the one Jesus follower who did the very most to change the world with God. That's Paul. Does he ever seem a little larger than life to you? He does to me. And so when Paul describes himself, knowing that this is his pedigree, how do you think he does it? Like these words in 1 Timothy chapter 1, the saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Other translations says, of whom I am the very worst one. But for that reason, he says, I receive mercy, so in me, as the foremost, as the worst sinner, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. Paul, the greatest apostle ever to step foot on this earth, when given a chance to talk about himself, refers to himself as the very worst sinner. The verses right before this one, he says why he can say that. He begins to speak of what he's done. He says, I've blasphemed, I have persecuted, I have lived as a man of violence. If you know the story of Paul, you know that there is blood on Paul's hands. You know that families were ravaged, torn apart because of the actions of Paul. He had broken the heart of his God, and he had broken the people of God. You see, Paul didn't see himself as God's great gift to the world. He didn't see himself as the most qualified person to carry on God's kingdom work because of his great years of education. No, Paul knew what was true in his heart of hearts. And he said, I, Paul, I am the very worst sinner of them all. Apart from the grace of Jesus Christ. And so Paul picks up his pen and he writes this testimony for generations to come. And he's shouting out in these words, you guys, me too. Me too. What he's saying is he's saying, you guys, have you ever thought you were beyond forgiveness? Me too. Have you ever felt that there was no way to make good for all the bad you'd done? Me too. Have you ever thought that God may as well just give up on you? Me too. Have you ever been totally sure that you were disqualified from any meaningful work in God's kingdom? Me too, Paul says. Me too. Have you ever seen someone suffer because of your actions or inactions? Me too, Paul says. Have you ever laid awake at night and heard those voices that remind you of how ashamed you should be? Me too, Paul cries out. All you sinners, me too, me too. He says, but that's not the end of the story. He says, but Jesus didn't count all of these sins against me. Instead, Jesus came into this world to save these kind of sinners just like me. Jesus has spoken louder than all of those voices that only want to shame and disqualify me, Paul says. He says, I hear the voice of Jesus, and his voice is one of mercy, and his voice is one of love. And it tells me that even my darkest days have only given Jesus this beautiful opportunity to show how great is his grace and his patience for me. I love that. He says, all my messed up stuff, that was just God getting to show how patient he is. Isn't that awesome? Paul says, y'all, and I do have a Texas accent, y'all. He says, if my sins can be forgiven, I killed people who love Jesus because they love Jesus. If my sins can be forgiven, if Jesus can give me a fresh start, you too. You too. And just like that, hearing the Apostle Paul say, me too, so you too, just like that, I don't know about you, but I don't feel so alone in my shame anymore. If this guy who murdered people for loving Jesus could be given a chance to love Jesus too, surely so can we. When Paul says, me too, the Spirit within him tells the sinner in me, there is grace for you too. And with that, the shame loses its power. Me too. Says, sure, we're all broken. And yes, there's grace for you too. Me too. These words bring comfort in our pain. You see, so many of God's promises aren't so much that God is going to keep us from pain, but they're more these promises that he will be with us in it. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for, how do you finish that? You are with me. Not for you pluck me out of it, for you are with me. The Israelites found great comfort in this God who would just be with them in the darkness. This me too, in your struggle with you, God, is on full display in the gift of the incarnation. That's what it's all about. Jesus took on flesh and moved into the neighborhood. And with that, our God began to cry out with a human voice, me too. Me too, about all the same things that our hearts cry out for. The pangs of a hunger. Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days cried out, me too. The heartache that comes from being misunderstood. Jesus said every day for 33 years, from when his parents couldn't figure out why he was in the temple until he's hanging on the cross, me too. I know what it is to be misunderstood. Me too. That concern we have about how we're going to meet ends meet. That Jesus, who had nowhere to lay his head, says, me too. The concern, the heartbreak, when our friends, our best friends, betray us. Jesus hands the bread to Judas, and he said, me too. That loneliness we experience when we need our people the most and they leave us to struggle alone. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane is crying out, me too. The grief from burying a best friend. Jesus at Lazarus' tomb weeps, me too. The trauma that comes from being falsely accused, gossiped about, mocked. Jesus hanging on a cross naked shouts out, me too. The absolute shattering of a heart when a parent loses a child. God, watching his son slip away, wraps his big God arms around us and he says with us, me too. Me too, my children, you are hurting, but you are not hurting alone. Never have been, never will be. You will not hurt alone. Me too. You see, when God doesn't take our pain away, there's at least this great deal of comfort in knowing that we do not have to hurt alone. God let himself hurt. So he could show us just how much he loves us in all of our hurts. When we're in the pain, he understands. He's been there. He stands there with us and he says to us in that place, my child, me too. Me too. When we're hurting the most in life, if you think about those seasons in your life, you'll notice what you do. You don't always look for the person that can get you out of it because you just kind of know that person probably doesn't exist. Instead, we look for someone who will simply empathize with us in it, who will be with us and who will tell us, you know what, I can't fix this, but I will hurt with you. until we're not hurting anymore. Parents who have lost children, if you watch, you'll see that they find each other and they connect in that place of pain because their other friends mean well, but they just don't know how to be friends in that place. But those who've experienced the same hurt, they know, and they cling to each other. Families of addicts, they come together to walk together on that hard journey as one. There's entire groups for it, bringing these people, same experiences of pain, together. They know that they can't possibly fix it for each other. I can't fix your addicted family member. You can't fix mine. But at least we can hope and hurt together. Those who have been hurt by broken marriages, those who have buried a spouse, they find companionship with those who know that kind of hurt with them. It's what we do when we're hurting. We look for the people who've been there, who are there. Our experiences of pain, while we would never, ever ask for them, if we notice, if we let God use them, we will see that these experiences of pain become some of our very greatest, most beautiful gifts that we have to give this world. Because people are looking for someone who's been there to give words of comfort for them who are there. And so when we find God's comfort in the pain, as He speaks over our broken hearts, me too, then at some point down the road, we might be able to offer that same comfort to others who are hurting too. Me too, God too, us too. What's been your biggest source of pain in life? Could have been 20 years ago. You could be living in it right now. What's your biggest source of pain in life? Did God meet you with His comfort there? In that place of pain, did you ever hear God say, you know what, you're not going to face this alone. No way, no how. Me too. Did you hear that from God? Who in your life is hurting in a similar way today? Have you yet echoed God's promise back to them? You will not walk this alone. I know that pain. And I found comfort in it. Me too. Me too. Me too. These words, these two little words, they overcome shame. And they bring comfort in deep, deep pain. And they bring hope in a world prone to despair. Have you noticed that our world likes to live in the ditches of despair? Anyone notice that? It doesn't take someone who's overly observant. But while we were eating dinner on Thursday night at the Good Shepherd Group, just for conversation around the table, I said, here's the topic for tonight. Can y'all share anything you've seen on the news from anywhere around the world, from like the whole entire last month, that you found to be encouraging? And I kind of thought it would actually be a conversation. No, there was nothing. It was like crickets in the room. I was like, anywhere in the world, not just Belfair, not just Washington, not just America, anywhere. Crickets, nothing. It's like, all right, anybody else have a dinner topic? Because I'm out of ideas. And you see, it's not that good things aren't happening. It's that we are in a world that is addicted to despair. Bad news sells. You know what the hidden mantra is of all of our media people? I'm just making this up, but I bet it's true. Enrage to engage. Keep them mad. Keep them worried. Keep them ticked off, and they will stay plugged in. Enrage to engage. It's not that there's not good things happening. It's that we are addicted to the sickness. We're addicted to the bad news. We are addicted to despair. And if we're not careful, before long, before maybe just an hour of cable news, we will actually start thinking that all those bad news stories are actually the stories that are driving this world. We will start thinking that all those bad news stories are actually the sum of everything that's going on. And if that's the case, then all that means is that we are all doomed. And sooner than later, doomed. You, meet doomed. Some of us have already ingested enough of that junk that we are already neck deep in the ditch and the depths of despair. And you know it's you if it's you. But the people of God have always been called to be a people of hope. And that hasn't changed in 2021, my friends. To follow the Jesus who walked out of a sealed tomb, alive and well, is to be a people who know in our heart of hearts that the tomb never gets the final word. Death never wins, you guys. Despair is only a little bitty page in this great, big, beautiful story of this God who is always making all things new and all things beautiful and all things good. And Jesus' people live by this deep-seated faith that says the worst things are never, ever, ever the last things. If he rose from the grave, then my friends, we will rise from pandemics and economic collapses and political strife, and we will rise from anxiety and depression, and we will rise from war, and we will rise from pain. If that's the Jesus that we follow, that's who we are. We follow a living, resurrecting, saving, redeeming, returning Jesus, whose kingdom is always advancing. It is never retreating. Find me one place in the Gospels where it says that kingdom retreats. It advances. So we are a people not of despair. We are a people of great hope, who proclaim together what is true in this naysaying world that can only cry out, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Because if the sky is falling, I'll watch the news. That's interesting. And we are people who look to the skies and say, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not slumber and he will not sleep. That's a people of hope, you guys. This is what the Psalms are all about. Did you know that? Those 150 beautiful points, what they are is they're the prayer book of the Hebrew people. These are the songs that they would sing, not just individually between them and God. These are the songs that they would come and sing and worship together as God's people together. In the midst of chaos, they'd sing out, try to hear their voices. Psalm 46:10. My friend Andy knows this one. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the heavens. I will be exalted in the earth. As these people would march together to worship, no matter what their circumstances were, people at home, people in exile, they'd sing together the words of Psalm 130. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is unfailing love. With him is full redemption. He will redeem Israel from all of their sins. And with this song, they would remind each other of God's grace, of his promise to act on their behalf, whether they saw it or not. Their song was a song of hope. Psalm 139, they'd sing out together about this God who never, ever loses sight of his children. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Can you hear the people of God singing it together? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are still there. These songs where they would declare together, you guys, God is with us and God is for us. Sing it together so we might believe it together. You see, it takes all of us singing together to give us the courage we need to keep leaning on hope in this world where so much seems so very hopeless. When God's people sing what's true together, all declaring, me too, this is my hope too, well, then our hearts are lifted. And then our courage is deepened, because in that moment we know that we're not alone. We're not alone. We have these crazy hopes too. We're not crazy. Me too. Me too. In these days, might we sing together what we know in our heart of hearts is still true. I believe that my hope is not found in the evening news. but in Jesus Christ our Lord. If you believe it too, could you just say me too? Isn't that a beautiful sound? I believe that the light still overcomes the darkness. And so long as God's Spirit is with us, His light is in all of us. So we all overcome the darkness. If you believe that too, could you say me too? Isn't that a strong sound? Better than just me saying it. I have this hope that peace will win in the end. And the lion will lay down with the lamb, and the sworn enemies will feast at the table of the Lord together as kin, and every sword will be laid down, and life will win in the end. If you believe that too, could you just say me too? Ah, my heart believes it more when you say I'm not the only one. I believe that God still answers the prayers of his people. And he still hears the cries of his children. And he still empowers his church to be his hands and his feet in a hurting world. And that he still has so much good work for us to do. You believe that? Could you just say with me, me too? A little less sure, but that's okay. Chain breaking, complacency shaking sound, that is. I believe you guys that love is still more powerful than hate. And I believe that hope is way more contagious than despair. And I believe that faith is way more exciting than doubt. And I believe that God is more real and more in control than all of our illusions of earthly powers and threats. If you believe that with me, could you just say, me too? And could you hear that? Our song together, it grows courage. In you and in me, we are not alone. Me too. Me too. It breaks the lies of shame. It comforts us in our pain. It unites us in hope. There are some people in this room this morning who really need to know that they are not alone. That they are not alone in their sin, in their shame. My friends, if anyone in this room, and this part's vulnerable, participate if you want. There's no pressure. But my friends, if in this room, if you've ever struggled with the pains of addiction of any kind, might you be willing to just say, me too? Amen. Someone needs to hear it's not just them. Do you hear that? There's grace for us all. This room, my friends, if you've hurt the ones who meant the very most to you, might you just say, me too? Someone needs to hear that they belong in God's grace today, too. My friends, if you've messed up utterly as a parent or a spouse or an employee, might you just say, me too? Me too. Amen. Someone needs to hear it's not just you, you guys. If the words of your mouth just in this past week have torn down rather than built up. Could someone just say, me too? Someone needs to hear that we're all in this together, you guys. If you've hurt deeply because of a broken marriage or estranged children, could we hear, me too? Someone needs to know that they are not suffering alone. If you've ever felt your heart break into so many pieces that you weren't sure that they would ever, ever come back together again, could we hear, me too? Someone needs to hear it today because their heart is still in those pieces and your healing gives some hope. If you've known the pains of abuse, might someone dare say, me too? Someone needs to know that they do not suffer alone and that their story has room in this room to be heard and their heart has room in our hearts to be held. And if in all the shame and all the pain, you just keep running into the love and the grace of our Jesus, would you call out, me too, me too? We need to hear. We need to know that we hold on to him together. And there's this day when we will see him face to face. And in that moment, we will cry out, Jesus, I've waited all of my life to see you. And he will scoop us up, and you know what he will say? Me too. Me too. You see, these words, they bring broken hearts together under this beautiful banner of God's love and of God's grace. Someone this week, my friends, needs to hear you say, me too. You're not alone in this world, in your shame, in your pain, or in your hope, my friend. You're not alone. Me too. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, oh, you could be so distant. You could be so removed. You could have left us to fend for ourselves ages ago. And yet you're a God who chose to live a me too kind of life. A God who chose to know the temptations of sin. A God who chose to use the foremost sinners to be your greatest apostles. You're a God who chose to enter into pain and suffering so you might love us and ours. And you're a God of hope who gives us a song to sing, a reason to wake up in the morning, something to live for that's bigger than ourselves. Thank you for your heart, oh God. Your heart that says, me too, so we too can be free from sin, comforted in pain, and awakened in hope. Would you bring all of those truths deeper into our lives this day so your joy might overflow in us, your freedom this week? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.